Good evening and welcome to Youth Beat Radio here on WCRS, Community Radio for Columbus. I'm Nishant Makija. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Tonight we will be talking to Clark Siddle. He is a sophomore at The Ohio State University. He is a communication and political science major, and he has been quite involved with youth programs, including training elected government officials in a workshop to help them with procedures of argument. He is known to have made a huge difference in his hometown of Enon, located outside of Springfield, Ohio. And tonight he will be talking to us about his experience as well as working with the senator's office at the State House in Columbus, Ohio. You're listening to Youth Beat Radio here on WCRS, Community Radio for Columbus. And joining us here in our studios here at WCRS is Clark Siddle. He is a political science and communication major here at The Ohio State University, and he's come by our studios to talk with us today. Hi, Clark. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming by today. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your interests. You have a strong interest in working with community leadership and doing a lot of work And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that today. So I was wondering if you can tell us what kind of community involvement that you've been involved with.
Well, growing up back home in Springfield, Ohio, I was involved with the 4-H and FFA programs growing up. Got really involved in FFA in high school. And in high school, I became involved with parliamentary procedure. And so I actually took that skill that we'd learned through the FFA and through competitions, and my senior year of high school, we had a newly elected village council, almost all new members, and a new mayor, and none of them had a governmental background, so none of them were familiar with working in a meeting-type environment and making decisions in accordance with Robert's Rules of Order. And so the first meeting as a new village council, they had quite a show, I guess. And the newspapers have reported, and they quoted it as a circus because no one knew how to perform in a meeting. So I wrote the mayor and the council and offered to host a workshop for them.
That's very cool. So this was the first time these elected officials had ever been in politics, and they didn't really know how to run their own job. Is that right?
Well, most people run for office at the local level because they want to become involved in a certain issue. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're familiar with the procedures that go along with it. And it's good to have that kind of ambition with what comes with political office. But unfortunately, there's a lot of procedure that you have to go to in order to see those ideas and goals through. And it was just kind of my job to go in there and help them through that.
Now, how did you learn about this?
Through FFA, we had the parliamentary procedure team. And then just growing up, I was involved in a lot of organizations that use the meeting type atmosphere, very business and professional.
Okay, so can you tell us about FFA a little bit?
FFA is a national youth organization that promotes premier leadership, personal growth, and career success through agricultural education, and I was involved in the Green and FFA chapter in Springfield.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, so you said that you got involved growing up as well in youth organizations that involved doing this?
Right. I was involved in the FFA and then also 4-H and just a variety of other youth organizations.
Okay, that's very cool. So now, Now, you were saying that you wrote to them. Is that how you got involved with them?
Mm-hmm. I'd read the article in the newspaper, and I wrote the mayor and the council, and I just kind of offered, a workshop, and okay. they took me up on my offer by resolution of council, and I hosted a workshop. This was in January. Their first meeting was in January, and I sent my letter by their second meeting. And over about a four-month period, I planned this workshop. I'd done research on Robert's Rules of Order, which I was already familiar with, but I did a lot more thorough research into Robert's Rules and Parliamentary Procedure, and then also Ohio Revised Code, because there's a lot of statute that they have to follow. And then also Ohio Sunshine Laws, which are kind of three major things that related procedure that council members and municipal government officials have to be aware of.
Okay. Well, I find it very cool, actually, because many kids your age don't do these kinds of things, you know? It's mostly, you know, we always see on the news that people that have been in politics, maybe like a senator in Congress, would be teaching these city people how to run their jobs. So that's very cool, I have to say.
Thank you.
So you were telling me a little bit about the workshop over in Springfield. Can you tell me about, you told me you talked, you were doing the, you talked, you, you helped the mayor, Springfield, Warren.
No, the mayor, the village was actually Enon outside of the city of Springfield.
All right.
For reference, it's closer to Springfield and more known. But the village is outside of Springfield. It's called Enon, and it's a village of about 3,500 people.
Okay. So what did you think about training with the government officials? Were you a little bit nervous when you first saw them and you were younger than all these people? Or?
Well, there's no doubt that I was younger than most of them, but coming from a small town, I knew some of them already, and I'd never met the mayor before. It was the first time I met with him. Mm-hmm. And we actually sat down one-on-one, just he and I in a meeting, and we talked about his goals for the council and what he thought he needed improved on. And then I just helped him with some basic meeting etiquette and that type of stuff starting out. And then we did phone interviews and kind of, I really wanted to make it a thorough workshop because I wanted them to be able to get something out of it that they could use for a long time. Because there was a lot of feud. There was kind of an old school of thought and a new school of thought. And it wasn't that either one of them were right or wrong. It was just that they both had different ideas of their personal agendas for councils, for the village council, and they feuded. But unfortunately, because they weren't aware of the procedures to see their ideas through, it caused some conflict. But when you have procedure and order and meetings, that conflict can be minimized.
Okay, so were these Republicans and Democrats that you were working with?
Well, at the local government level, it's nonpartisan office.
I see.
But, I mean, they are politically affiliated, but it has no relevance at the local level.
Okay, I see. So how many people were in? How many people were you teaching then in the workshop?
Well, there's six council members and then also the mayor. But in the workshop, township trustees, citizens, and some village staff even attended. And the newspapers came, and there was a pretty good turnout. Just people who wanted to get involved and thought it was something worthwhile.
So a lot of media attention in the city.
Yeah, it was really neat to draw attention to that because I think, especially at the local level, when that's kind of where most political figures start out, they really use that as kind of how they develop their sense of meeting procedure and governmental procedure. And I really wanted to help train them on how to see their agendas through and, you know, pass their ideas and do it in a way that was professional and made them look good.
Right, because they kept fighting, you were saying. They were in a chaos, was it, you were saying earlier?
Yeah, the newspaper referred to it as a circus.
Circus, wow. Wonder what that's like in politics. And you actually kind of witnessed it, the circus going on, or?
Well, I attended meetings for the four-month period.
Okay.
And I consulted with them. So I'd like to think that it's not that way anymore because I made a difference.
Because you helped, right. Did you get paid?
No, it was completely volunteer. The only time money became involved is when the council paid for me to attend a workshop in Dayton, Ohio, with the Ohio Municipal League. And they host a workshop every year for new council members. And so it wasn't really a workshop for me, but it was for me to see how council members are supposed to interact in meetings and all that. And so they actually had their own workshop, but it involved more with zonings and type of just orienting council members to their jobs and their descriptions.
Okay, so I'm still very curious, though. You were telling me a little bit earlier about like how you were younger than them, but I'm still really wondering how did they respond to a young person?
Yeah, a lot of people have asked that, and it was a little awkward in the beginning because I'm obviously a lot younger than what they are.
Right.
But they respected me because they knew that I had a skill that I'd gained from my involvement in youth organizations, and then kind of graduated to a kind of a higher understanding of meeting procedures and governmental procedure, and they respect me for that. And I'm pretty sure at least at some point each council member and probably all the village staff and the mayor had called me just asking questions before meetings on how to make motions properly and all of that, because almost none of them had any experience in that type of professional business environment.
Wow. None of them had any experience at all.
Just in relation to governmental procedures.
Yeah, and no one, yeah. Well, it feels like everybody, you know, even in our national government, I think today, we're always seeing fights in Congress, and maybe they don't know the rules very well, maybe.
Well, the benefit to Congress is they have the resources for parliamentarians and certain bureaucrats that can actually... they're actually there on hand to tell them what to do as far as how to use procedures. So if you were to watch C-SPAN, there would be a parliamentarian there in the chambers giving them instructions on how to make motions and how to abide by the House rules.
Okay, so that actually, I have a question then, since you know a lot about political science. How does it, we keep hearing on the news about lobbyists and bureaucrats, sorry, and we hear about that like in Washington D.C. a lot. And you know, I think the president now, who has come in, Obama, he wants to change that. So, can you tell me what is lobbying? What is?
Well, there's a lot of misconceptions about lobbyists. Lobbyists get a bad rap. They're more so a fact gathering. They obviously promote certain interests. So you have lobbying groups like the NRA. Or Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Right.
But they have a certain interest, but they do gather a lot of research information, and their job is to inform policymakers on how to make a better decision. They obviously sometimes, and one bad apple can ruin the batch, and some lobbyists have crossed the lines as far as what's legal and what's not.
Right.
But I would love to become involved someday in lobbying in some way or another, but it's really more so about fact gathering and helping elected officials make the right decisions.
Okay. So would you also say that lobbying in America is almost like legal corruption?
No, I wouldn't say that at all, actually. I think, for instance, you're a student at Wittenberg, I'm a student at Ohio State. When our universities go for public funding from the state or from whatever level of government, if they go for federal or state funding, they'll send their own lobbyists. And a lot of organizations that we're involved in, like I was involved in 4-H and FFA, and we have, I guess you could call them lobbyists. They're people that are well-versed in policy, and they go and speak with elected officials and kind of just inform them, educate them on what those programs are doing and how they're bettering youth lives. So no, I wouldn't say that lobbying in America is corrupted at all. Well, corrupted in a general view. Obviously, like I said, there's some bad apples.
Okay, well, that's interesting. But they give also the senators and Congress people money, right? They give them more money for agreeing with them.
They're not supposed to actually give them money. Sometimes they'll promote a certain candidate that promotes their causes.
Okay.
But that's more for political action groups, not necessarily lobbyists.
Okay, so I'm just curious, why does President Obama want to stop lobbying then if these groups are actually coming out? For example, you were saying Mothers for not driving, you know, for underage drinking, and, you know, those kinds of programs. And, you know, they're actually making a difference, and they're trying to get the people in Washington, D.C. to realize that this needs to end. And what does he mean by that? Because I'm a little bit confused then.
Barack Obama's not against lobbying. He's against unethical lobbying, which would be like what we talked about, the bad, you know, bad apples that are doing things that push the line, cross the line as far as ethics.
Right.
He's not against lobbying because American politics would be completely transformed without lobbyists, and you can't expect an elected official to have all the information to make decisions just on their own right. Lobbyists bring information in and they educate policymakers. And if there's a lobbyist for one side of an issue, there's a lobbyist for another side of an issue.
I see. So it's on both sides. So you work with a senator here in Columbus, in Ohio. And can you tell us what you do for the office and which senator you work for?
Well, I actually work for State Senator Chris Widener, senator for the 10th District. And I'd known him growing up back home. I was actually friends with his daughter. He was a big promoter of youth programs back home, like 4-H and FFA. He had always attended FFA banquets and was a big promoter of 4-H. He was actually a 4-H member when he was younger. And so I'd gotten to know him and his family through that, and then I became involved with his campaign because I agreed with what he stood for, and he's a great ambassador for Clark Greene and Madison counties, and I kind of saw it from a youth perspective growing up, and now I kind of see it more so from a political perspective, but my involvement in youth programs really kind of moved me in that direction and becoming involved in politics. Chris Widener is a great advocate of our youth programs back home. Like I said, my involvement in youth organizations back home really led me in the direction of supporting him,
right?
Because I knew he was a big advocate for 4-H and FFA programs, which are programs that are really near and dear to my heart. I was also involved in Youth Farm Bureau, which he's a Farm Bureau member, and so we'd see each other a lot at events, and then obviously his daughter in school, and she's a great friend of mine.
Okay. What's your main position?
My job title is just a page. I do mainly constituent work, just communicating with people who call in and have requests or have certain issues, and I can lead them in the right directions as far as questions they might have relating to state government or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If they need help with an agency, I can lead them towards our legislative aid or maybe answer questions over the phone.
Okay, so Clark, you were talking about, you know, you were talking about like how you're working for the elected officials in Springfield, in your hometown, outside of Springfield. Okay, so how did you learn about parliamentary procedures? I actually learned it myself. I mean, I learned a little bit through Model United Nations. I don't know if you did that. How did you get interested in that?
Well, like I mentioned earlier with the FFA, was when I actually did it competitively. We had a team together, and we would compete at the county, district, sub-district, district, and state level. And my senior year of high school, right before I actually taught the workshop, is when we went on to state. And so after that, we were done with the competitive parliamentary procedure. And soon after that is when I read in the newspaper about the problems with village council. And so I took on that project, and after that, I actually had some organizations call me, and nonprofit organizations call me and wanted me to teach.